This episode contains graphic descriptions of crime scenes, which may be disturbing to some listeners.
Today, we're bringing you the story of a woman who went missing shortly after her 35th birthday. When her landlord went to check on her, he saw no one, but he did notice a strange odor. Weeks later, concerned family members go check on her and are shocked to find her decomposing body concealed in her bedroom. During the investigation, police learn that during the time she was likely dead, someone was spotted near the door of her apartment. Who was the man on the stairs?
This is APB Cold Case. Here's your host, former police chief Mark Spahn.
Our story begins in early June of 1998 in a one-bedroom apartment of an 8-unit building on Mohawk Street in Oswego, New York. Marla Ware was at home when she received a phone call from her sister-in-law to wish her a happy birthday. Marla, who had just turned 35, told her sister-in-law that a male friend named Francis Dan, who was really more of a casual boyfriend, had brought over some dinner and a small cake to celebrate her special day. After a brief conversation, they hang up, and that was the last time Marla's family ever spoke to her. Marla's brother, Mark, said it wasn't unusual for he and his sister to go for long periods of time without talking, so he wasn't concerned when he hadn't heard from her, even when her quote-unquote boyfriend came by his house.
Francis Dan stopped at my house, and he never had stopped without Marla, and says, "Have you seen your sister?" And I said, "No, I haven't seen her, and she's probably just out camping with some friends." So he took off. About 2 to 3 days later, he stopped again. He says, I'm suspicious that she's in that apartment. I says, "Well, you know, it's only been a couple more days. Let's give it a little bit longer, you know." So he had stopped two other times. Well, the fourth time he stopped, I called my sister and I says, "Roseman." And she knew who the landlord was. She called him and said, "Look, you know, can you stop in, check?"
A 1998 article in the Post Standard said that on July 23rd, the landlord did check the apartment, but only briefly. He said the apartment was a mess, and he noticed a bad smell. But he figured it was coming from the garbage and a sink full of dirty dishes.
He went down, like I said, he walked in, walked back out. That was it. There. So Francis stopped one more time. I said to Rosie, I says, "Look, it. Let's meet up with this guy. I want to go in the apartment and check it."
Mark met the landlord at Marla's place.
When we got there, like I said, we opened the door. I could smell the smell. And immediately I asked if she had an animal or a pet to the landlord. And he said no, because I worked for the DOT. I had picked up quite a few dead deer and knew the stench of death, you know. And I told him, I says, "Well, it's a possibility she's in here because from what I'm smelling lines up with it." I continued in through to the bedroom. All the sheets and everything were pulled off the bed, and the blankets, everything. And they were at the side of the bed. And I noticed two suitcases and a duffel bag on top of the pile of blankets. Well, up in one corner, I could see what looked to be a hand sticking out from under the blanket. The only thing that reminded me was a banana peel because it was all black, you know, just like a banana peel would do. Just from what I could make out, yeah, it was. I could tell it was Marla. It was pretty much, she was totally black. It was just some of the hair I saw, but I peeled back some of the blankets and I see her body, covered it back up, walked out of the apartment, and called the police.
So August 3rd of 1998, the Oswego City Police Department gets a call for an unattended death at 154 West Mohawk Street, which is a multiple unit dwelling. It's right on the corner of Mohawk Street and Liberty Street, right across the street from Oswego High School. The caller was the brother of the victim, Marla Ware.
That was Lieutenant Brian Thompson of the Oswego PD. He wasn't at the original crime scene, but he's in charge of the case today.
Right away, it popped as suspicious. So she was located on the floor of her bedroom. several pillows and suitcases and a sheet that was over the top of that. You know, it's obviously a suspicious death. So at that point, they start documenting the crime scene, and the coroner's office is contacted to assist with the removal and to help with the documentation of the removal. More resources start rolling in. There was an evidence tech from the New York State Police who assisted. So they really just start documenting everything and piece by piece taking everything that's on top of her and collecting it. There was obviously a lot of photos taken. You know, back in 1998, it's not as easy as it is now. You got, I think at that time they were working with Polaroids. So at one point they actually had a documented it with video as well.
The body was in an advanced state of decomposition. August is usually quite warm in New York, so I asked if police had received any odor complaints from neighbors.
No neighbors complained. Obviously, it's the middle of summer, and as we'll talk about in a minute, she's been there for quite some time. No air conditioning within, and all the windows, I believe, were closed. So there's a good chance a lot of it, and I've had, you know, experience with this before, where once, you know, you get an opening, that all that odor spills out, but it can get sealed.
The body was taken for autopsy, and while detectives waited for results, they processed the scene and canvassed the area. You heard Lieutenant Thompson say that Marla lived across the street from the high school. I asked him about the neighborhood.
So a lot of the walkers to school, they would congregate right on that corner. They called it Smoker's Corner. That's where the kids used to go and smoke cigarettes before school. So a lot of foot traffic and a lot of in and out in the apartment too.
Along with neighbors, investigators need to interview everyone close to Marla. Among the people they wanted to speak with were Marla's family members who discovered the body and Francis Dan, the man who first reported her missing.
So obviously something like this, they're talking to dozens and dozens of people. From basically the statements, it's basically locked down that she was last seen on June 5th, thereabouts.
So it's likely that Marla's been dead for about 2 months when her body's discovered. And when the autopsy comes back, it's also probable that the passage of time has erased some evidence.
So due to the rate of decomposition, they were never actually definitively able to say what actually caused the death, no.
I asked Lieutenant Thompson if they found any injuries to Marla's body.
Nothing that jumped out at them as far as, you know, trauma. I have my theories as to the cause and manner of death.
Police told me that Marla might have been using illicit drugs, but she wasn't suffering from any major medical issues.
You know, we're talking 1998. Kind of before the big push of fentanyl over the borders and people dying from that at exorbitant rates, and no drugs of that nature were found in her system. She was known to casually use cocaine here and there, but none in her system at the time of the autopsy.
So who is Marla Ware? And if she was murdered, who could have killed her? I wanted to know more about Marla's early life. Her brother Mark told me that theirs was a blended family, much like the classic movie, Yours, Mine, and Ours.
My father was married previously, had 4 kids. My mother was married previously, had 2, and then they got together, and there was 3 of us. And it was all, I always joked about being the 3 M's, because it's Marlene, Mark, and Marla. And Marlene is the only sister I still have alive. But we were raised out in Bowens Corners, Granby area, on a farm. Well, probably when she was a kid, we used to go camping quite a bit. She liked to fish. And I remember a couple times when we were out to Fairhaven fishing, she caught a couple, and the way she acted when she caught them, you know. But I can remember as a kid, she would talk, even when she was, I'll say, even at 4, she would be talking in a room. And you'd say, Marla, who are you talking to? My friend. She's right over there. And she always thought she had psychic abilities because she seemed to see people. And it was like weird, you know. Him and my mom, when Marla was 5, were divorced. And that's where Marla's downfall became, because she was bounced back and forth between the two of them. She lived with my mother for a while down in Florida, and we had to go down and pick her up and bring her back to New York. At that time, I was out of the house and by then. So she was kind of a troubled person. She got into drugs, and it was a downfall for her.
So Marla's childhood was difficult. There was family separation, and she was getting bounced back and forth between her parents. As she got older, she became involved with drugs. Her brother said that Marla didn't have regular full-time employment, but she was living on her own and had recently gotten into that apartment. According to friends, she always kept it neat and tidy. So what do we know about Marla's last known movements? Her birthday was on June 5th, and 2 days before, there had been a small gathering at her place.
Right away, they're talking to witnesses. A lot of witnesses mentioned that she'd had a birthday party on June 3rd. And people who they spoke to right off the bat kind of had their theories already. And a list of people who attended that party was accumulated, produced a lot of witnesses that were spoken to, and they all gave Mr. Newton's name.
Lieutenant Thompson is talking about Ray Newton. And this guy is, let's just say he's an interesting character in our story.
People that we spoke to, just as known associates of her, gave his name as the two of them being romantically linked, kind of on and off again, seeing each other. There were reports that Mr. Newton was asking Miss Ware to move in with her, which she was not wanting his name. And apparently there was a moment at the party where, in front of a lot of people, Mr. Newton asked Miss Ware to be his steady full-time girlfriend, whatever you'd like to call it. And she basically says no in front of all these people. And all the reports were that Mr. Newton was very upset and didn't talk to anybody the rest of the night, whereas before he was being very boisterous and talking to the other guests and had no issues.
We're going to talk a little bit more about Ray Newton in a little bit, but let's get back to the timeline. So to recap, Marla had a small party on June 3rd, where she publicly rejected Ray Newton. And then on June 5th, her birthday, she told her sister-in-law over the phone that Francis Dan, a much older man and Marla's other sometime boyfriend, had come over to celebrate her birthday. Investigators believe that Marla was killed sometime on June 5th, but around that same general time frame, Marla had reported that a money order of hers had been stolen.
On June 6th, which again, we're thinking a day after she was most likely passed away, there was reports of Mr. Newton trying to get people to cash this money order for him. Shortly after that, he ends up stealing a vehicle and is ultimately found in Syracuse with it. Even before the body is discovered and called in, there's connections that they had from previous reports.
Our next timeline point is 3 or 4 days later, and it comes from a witness.
He says that on either June 9th or June 10th in the evening, he went to Marla's apartment to see her. He gets to the exterior door of the apartment, at which time Mr. Newton comes down the stairs. Mr. Newton has his hands in his pockets when he comes down. He tells Mr. that Marla's not feeling well. She doesn't want any visitors, and we should leave. The two of them walk down to the sidewalk, which there is a concrete drop-off. The two of them jump down. Mr. Newton keeps his hands in his pockets, which if you're jumping off an embankment like that, you're kind of have your hands out to kind of steady yourself. The two of them then go their separate ways. Mr. Newton was going to a bar in the area. Mr. pointed out that upon them separating, Mr. Newton did not shake his hand, which is very uncharacteristic of Ray. A big thing with him was shaking people's hands when he either first came in contact with them or left them, and he kept his hands in his pockets the whole time. So all those things kind of coming together pointed us at him relatively early on in the case.
So that was June 9th. Now we fast forward about 6 weeks to July 23rd.
Where a former boyfriend of Miss Ware had not been able to get a hold of her and requested that the landlord check on her. He actually went in, did a check, noticed a smell, but for whatever reason, just didn't notice what was going on, you know, all sorts of flies and everything, all that. So just didn't, I guess, put two and two together and left the apartment at that point.
And as we know, Marla's body was found 11 days later by her brother on August 3rd. Police had processed the scene. Remember, there was no apparent cause of death, no apparent knife or gunshot wounds, no weapons or other dangerous instruments. Nothing that gave an indication to detectives whether this was a crime scene or a natural death. Except for maybe one thing, Marla was only 35 years old, so police would have to wait for an autopsy. But that didn't provide a lot of answers. And specifically, there was no ruling on cause and manner of death.
So due to the rate of decomposition, they were never actually definitively able to say what actually caused the death. No major medical issues. I know she took some prescription medications for various things. Nothing that was, you know, medically would explain, I guess, causing a 35-year-old female just to pass away like that.
In suspicious circumstance death investigations, police often look at the people closest to the deceased. And after months of extensive interviews with family members, neighbors, friends, and boyfriends, including those people who attended Marla's birthday party on June 3rd, police didn't have enough evidence to make an arrest. But you heard Lieutenant Thompson say that police do have a theory on how Marla may have died. They're looking into a man who attended Marla's birthday party, that man named Ray Newton. Lieutenant Thompson shared some of Newton's history with me, specifically disturbing events that raise questions about whether he could be involved with Marla's death.
For Mr. Newton, there's cases, there's I think four total here that are kind of, you know, reference guides as far as his behavior. 1993, 2006, 2015, and 2020.
The first incident, 5 years before Marla's death, when Ray Newton and his then live-in girlfriend returned home from a night out.
So this was March of 1993 this occurred, just outside the city, I believe. They returned home after a night out drinking. There was a babysitter who was present. An argument ensued between Mr. Newton, Ray Newton, and his significant other at the time, and he beats her very, very severely.
Coming up in part two of Man on the Stairs, police continue their investigation into the death of Marla Ware. A person of interest has surfaced, and it all has to do with a pattern.
He was living with her, and she was asking for some assistance, and at that point, very, very calmly walks in, drags her to the floor, and tries to suffocate her with a pillow.
Was Marla murdered? And are police on the trail of her killer? Or is it someone else altogether?
As I was cleaning out the apartment, in the couch, under the cushion, was a wallet. And I had picked that up with an inverted baggie over my hand, so, and just touched the corners of it, took it down to the police department.
That's coming up in part two of Man on the Stairs. If you or anyone you know has information about the death of 35-year-old Marla Ware from Oswego, New York in 1998, call the Oswego Police Tips Line at 315-342-8131. Be sure to check out our show notes at apbcoldcase.com.
Thanks for listening to APB Cold Case. Tell us about your cold case at apbcoldcase@spawngroup.com. APB Cold Case is an original Spawn Group production.